Welcome to the Before Midnight podcast, coming to you from the N+1 studios overlooking beautiful downtown Frankfurt. In this podcast, we explore the world of age group triathletes. We'll be looking at the real-world challenges of being an amateur multi-sport athlete. I'm your host, Linda Word, along with my co-host, Brian Schenkenfelder. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm good. It's been good times, man. Yeah. Having good weather, I'm tired, though. It's training load starting to get to me a little bit as
I
we
have,
get closer to race days.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot too recently. I am wiped out. I'm lucky right now that I can take naps. I have been taking naps. Like, okay, 2-3 workouts today. Yeah, there's going to be a nap in there
someday. Oh, yeah, I find myself, like, I'm sitting around just kind of falling asleep on the couch while we're watching either the Olympics or whatever is on yeah. TV, YouTube channel or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, all of a sudden I'll just drift off for 15, 20 minutes. Like, ugh.
Yeah, that's all
I need.
That's
not very comfortable sleeping, though, sleeping in a chair.
I mean, I'll get home, you know, from whatever it is I'm doing or work or whatever, and it's like, you know what? Forget it. I don't have anything else to do. I'm going to lie down, and I'll just lie down 30 minutes, and then I'm good to go. But I've been doing that, like, daily. I'm so wiped out.
I get the where I fall asleep at my desk. I put my head down on my desk. So that's even more bad sleep.
Oh.
I don't get good nap sleep. I get bad nap sleep.
No, I like purposely go to bed and go to sleep.
Yeah, no, I don't get that joy. I just like wherever I am, I just fall asleep. Less than ideal.
Yeah, yeah, that'll put a crick in your neck.
Oh, yeah.
At your age.
Oh, yeah. Good times. Well, you lay down on like a chair, even though the feet lay off, because the feet hang out over the edge, you get kind of that wonky feeling in your legs. Like,
yeah. Wake up with like tingly feet. And, can't stand up. Yep. Ooh.
Good times.
Glad I'm not the only one. Good to hear that you're wiped out too. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's just that time of the year. Of course, I'm also like kind of curious if it's like I'm just getting older and that's the case, and I don't know how many more years I can train this hard. You begin to see why you have to do shorter cycles as you get older.
Yes.
There's no way I could do 3 weeks of hard training anymore. I just couldn't. It'd be too hard. That third week,
yeah,
counterproductive.
Well, yeah, and with age comes wisdom. It's like, okay, you know, I'm reaching my limit. Let's take a break and not push it. And that's what I've learned. And it's like, okay, I'm much better off taking a nap than I am getting sick. So
True.
One of the things we do. What else is going on? How's soccer going? I haven't talked to you about soccer in a while.
We didn't have soccer this last weekend, so it was a weekend without soccer, which was kind of
nice. How did
that
happen?
The county fair.
Oh, that's right.
We did go to the county fair. That was
how was that?
That was fun. It's not too bad. It was $10 a person. You get to ride all the rides you want.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have about 15 rides.
No, I never thought it was a bad deal going to the fair. I mean, it's pretty reasonable.
And
it's nice to not have to buy tickets. You know, you can just go.
It's just the county fair.
Yeah, I know. The state fair is different. But, you know, it's never been horrible. I've always liked the ride company that they use. When my girls were little, I was not terrified to put them on the rides. You know, some of the expo, oh, God, no. I did not want to put them on.
It's all carny rides, so it's always interesting to see it. Alex is getting older, so we're doing more of the rides. I'm also finding as I age, I can't do the spinny rides anymore.
Oof, yeah, no.
The swings that go around in circles, I can ride them, but I can't like ride them back to back anymore. They make me nauseous a little bit,
mm-hmm.
which is, I guess, disappointing to some extent. I'm interested to see what happens like if I get on like a roller coaster. I can't imagine that would make me sick. I'd probably enjoy that.
Roller coasters are okay. The only one I can't do, the wooden ones, that they just rattle me too much, and that just hurts.
The wooden ones are hard to put your hands up because they do rattle you.
Yeah.
Unless you're near the front. If you're near the front, they're not as bad. It's in the back they get really bad.
Yeah. I do much better like the hanging ones where your feet are hanging and it's swinging around. Those I can do pretty well. They don't hurt. And somebody taught me the trick. They're like, just put your head to one side and push it on that, no matter which direction the roller coaster is going. Just keep your head pushed to the side, and then your neck doesn't get bounced around. And that works really well. And then I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Getting bounced around is not a whole lot of fun.
Well, they had one ride that went sideways. So it was basically went up, came down, went up, came back down, but you went sideways and you went back the other side.
Okay.
And that put a lot of G-forces on you because it would whip you down through the bottom of that.
Ooh.
Each time. It was a big ride. It was probably 40, feet in the air or so, 50 feet in the air. So
wow.
It was a pretty good ride. That was a lot of fun. I didn't have any issues with that. We rode that one a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd have any trouble with it. It's just that spinning motion where you can't really focus on any one thing.
Right.
Where it just kind of goes, the thing goes by that I get, that creates some illness in me.
What's the one where you stand up? And I mean, it's been around since, you know, we were little kids.
And it pushes you against the wall before it goes out type thing. Yeah. They had those there. I didn't do those. Alex did them.
That I can do if I'm looking at somebody across the way.
Yeah,
maybe. Because they're staying still. They're going the same speed I am. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you know, maybe I could have done that ride. I just decided against doing that ride.
The scrambler one, not so much.
See, the scrambler ones never bothered me.
And now they bother you?
I don't know. I've not done that. They didn't have the scrambler this time.
Oh, okay.
It's the swings that bothered me.
Yeah.
I think it's anything that I can't focus on one thing.
Right.
Because generally to survive the swing, once I started kind of feeling ill, is I would focus on that chair in front of you.
Yeah, whoever's in front of you. Yeah.
And that helps. But at the same time, that other just that stuff going by creates problems for me. I had problems on the virtual headsets as well, like a roller coaster. Those create just tremendous amount of sickness in me. Those are really wild, by the way. Kind of like an
I've
Oculus
only
type
done
thing.
One virtual headset, and it was not a roller coaster, and it was here, but I can't remember.
Did you not do the roller coaster one?
No.
Oh man, that was bad. And yeah. I guess it's just the motion, and it doesn't like kind of. It messes with the brain because you feel like something's going to happen, but it doesn't.
But you're just, yeah, but you're
so
standing
it breaks
still.
Your brain. I don't know. It's just an interesting side note of, I assume this is probably just an aging thing as well, because I didn't have any issues with those types of rides when I was a kid.
It's got to be something with inner ear and vestibular stuff and, you know, that as you age, something goes wonky.
Yeah, where it's just not as robust.
Yeah. I think so.
Just an interesting side note.
All right. What's going on? What else is going on? You got to bike a bunch?
I've gotten to bike some. Although Sunday morning, I wake up, I'm looking at the radar. Man, there's rain all over the map.
Right.
Okay. I'm not even going to bother. Didn't rain a damn drop in my house. I don't know if it rained out in somewhere else, but it didn't rain in my house at all.
I'm trying to remember if I biked on Sunday. I think I did.
I almost went out that afternoon, but then just decided against it. I ended up doing my long ride on Monday. I ended up doing a bunch of Monday work.
No, I know what I did Sunday. I did a heat acclimation run. Okay. Oh, my God, it was so hot. I might as well have gone swimming. It was, that was tough. Yeah, it was hot. I went out at about 10. And I was thinking about riding later on, and I was like, nope. That wore me out.
Yeah, no, I just took that day off. I ended up doing a bunch of like work I would do on Monday. Mm-hmm. Pulled that into Sunday and then went out and did my long bike ride on Monday.
There you go.
It wasn't quite as long as I would have done if I'd gotten out at 7 a.m. It was still a two-hour ride.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, because I remember I was going to get up on Sunday and I thought about doing a bike ride too. And yeah.
I woke up. I was moving around. It was 6:30. I look at the radar and where I looked at my phone, I was like, well, it should start raining in like 20 or 30 minutes. And I look at the radar and there's rain everywhere. I was like, let's see if we can switch it around and maybe do it tomorrow. I should have just gone out that afternoon since I wasn't doing anything over the...
The roads were still pretty wet, though, when, you know, later on. When I went running, the roads were wet.
Yeah.
It was like at 10.
Okay, so it rained by you then.
Yeah. Well, I went downtown.
Okay, then it rained downtown. It didn't rain here. We didn't get a drop here.
Huh. It was steamy, though.
Yes, it was a very warm day.
It was really steamy, but it was good for me to experience that suffering, I guess. I had a great bike ride last night. I went faster than I've been in a long time. I got super brave. I hit 46.7 miles an hour going down Pea Ridge.
That's solid.
That was really, yeah. My contact lens was like, I got to get LASIK. It's like my lens was drying out. I'm like, can't really see. Luckily, I know the road. It's really, really straight. I know not to be right in the middle because of the potholes. And I was with two other riders too, so I was behind them. I was catching them.
Well, they're not sucking you down the road? Because I usually hit close to 50 on that.
I'm not
40,
big
49.
Enough to hit 50.
Well, that's what I said. You need to draft off somebody. Well, I'm not exactly big either. I'm not like I'm like
the only time
like
I've done
50
is behind Troy, because Troy's three times my size.
Yeah,
I wasn't that close to... I was pretty close to the rider, but I wasn't that close.
Yeah, Troy will really bomb that hill because he weighs quite a bit more than me.
Yes.
If you can, if I can get in that draft, yeah, we'd get. I think I imagine he probably gets up in the mid 50s on the, when he gets.
I think rolling. He's done like 52, and like I said, that's the only time I've hit 50 is when I was right behind Troy, and that was several years ago.
Occasionally, I'll hit 50 on that. I need the wind to be dead or behind me. I need usually like if I'm my hair, I just need good conditions to get 50. Yeah. It's very hard for me to hit 50, but I can get up to 48, 49.
The other thing that happened, those of you out there that have Garmin Edge computers, man, that incident detection works really well.
Yeah, for the most part, when it actually works. When you're actually wrecked, when it goes off, when it doesn't, it's a little bit more of a...
Well, yeah. It was surprising. We had the... Yesterday was, I guess, Franklin County decided to be Paint the Lines Day on every single road that I was on. I don't know how many trucks I got stuck behind. And we encountered a paint truck on a road that had a one-lane bridge. So we had to back up. None of us wanted paint on our bikes either. And I pulled off to the side, went up a little hill with a little bit of gravel, and I wasn't going at any speed at all. I mean, I was just kind of... And all of a sudden, my phone goes ballistic. Big, huge alarm. I'm like, what is going on? I was like, oh, my God, it's the Garmin incident detection, and it has... texted all my emergency people, like, whoopsie. Luckily, one little button says, do you want to send I'm okay? And you push that. And your wife is one of my emergency people. I knew I better text her pretty quickly because she would come out and try to find me, which is why she's on there. I know she will come and find me. And my husband, I knew, he'd see the text that I was okay and it would be fine.
But, just ignore it. Yeah.
But I know when it happened to you, when you did actually wreck, later on during the ride, it went off again just at a stoplight. And I was afraid that that was going to happen just when you stopped. You remember that?
I think I stopped pretty hard. And when there like some...
I don't know. We stopped at a light.
Wasn't there like pebbles or something on the road? Wasn't there, some debris or something? I don't remember.
I don't know. I wasn't that close to
it. I think I just stopped really hard and it just was like...
And just went off. I was like, whoa, no. Quick, text your wife. You're fine. But it was nice to have it work and to actually feel it and how loud it was. It's like, man, if I go off a side of a cliff, they're going to find me because the phone is like screaming.
Yeah.
So it does work. But sometimes a little too well.
Well, if you don't have an incident, that's when it's kind of an annoyance.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of people turning it off because it can be an annoyance. So just make sure whoever's your emergency people is.
Well, I think I turned mine off after that, didn't I? I think I did.
You did after the second time.
Yeah.
Well, we were 2 miles from your house, not even. So
I don't think I've turned it back on since then.
I actually will put people on, like if I'm biking somewhere different, it's like, okay, who's in this area? When I biked in Lexington a couple weeks ago and I added my friend Will onto my list, I'm like, hey, just FYI, so that if I fall off my bike, you can come and find me because you're the closest. So he said, cool. How's everything else going?
It's going well. It's been interesting. The Olympics has started, which is always an exciting time in
every 4 years.
Every 4 years. Excitement. You get to see some sports you don't get to see as often on television.
The only sport I've been able to watch so far has been badminton.
I'm sorry.
I know. I keep on napping, so I've missed all the good stuff. So you tell us what's going on, because I don't have a clue, unfortunately.
I've watched quite a bit. We watched some swimming. We've watched some women's soccer. Well, I mean, we've watched some beach volleyball. Mostly they're showing just the U.S. teams.
Right.
You're kind of limited on what you can actually watch
there. It's always been that way, unfortunately. Yeah. And the coverage, you know, for other countries, all they see is our teams too. I've heard that complaint. But
well, anyway. That's too bad for them. Come to America. And just it's good, but it does limit the number of sports you cover a lot of times. There have been some other sports that have popped up, but they'll be covering like the beach volleyball, the women's teams there, and men's teams in beach volleyball. Mm-hmm. Sports we generally do fairly well in. Although they had like the girl from table tennis, the American. She's made it out of the prelims and made it to the first round.
Good for her.
I don't know if she won the first round or not. I stopped following. I don't care enough.
It's ping pong.
And occasionally they'll show some of the other teams in some of the sports, especially when they're trying to fill content. Mm-hmm. Because I have Google TV, you get like all of the, I guess, who's running it? CBS? They're the ones that have it?
NBC.
NBC has it. So NBC has two or three channels, and they're kind of spreading their content across some of those different channels. So they have to fill up content in some of them, so I can watch random handball of Spain versus Sweden, I think, the other day. Like, handball is this really random sport. It's like lacrosse. It's a mix of lacrosse and basketball, kind of. I don't know. It's a really strange sport.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I don't know anything about it.
Well, you have a net. Like, it's like a lacrosse-sized net. It's on a basketball court. And they have like a crease like lacrosse where you can't go into, but that like
lacrosse or volleyball?
Lacrosse. It's like lacrosse.
Lacrosse has like soccer nets though.
Yes, this is a soccer net.
Okay.
On a basketball court.
Okay. You said a net and I was thinking of imagining
it. Yeah, it's not like a basketball net. It's a soccer style net, like lacrosse size net.
Okay. There's two of them then.
There's two on each end. Okay. They have a crease, but the crease is about not as far out as like the 3-point line, but if you were to take like the top of where the free throw line is, kind of. On a basketball court, it's about that far out, and it goes from all the way around, like in a circle around the goal. And they can't enter that.
Okay.
If you get the ball and you take more than a couple steps, you have to dribble once or twice, and then you shoot like lacrosse, and they have a goalie, and it goes to the other end, and they keep playing.
Wow.
It's a really, really strange sport. It's a very European sport. No one plays it in the U.S. because I don't think I've ever seen it in the U.S. But it does show up in the Olympics. They've also had like 3-on-3 basketball, which our men didn't qualify for. That's a strange. It's like pickup basketball where you have one goal. So if you miss it, you have to take it back to the 3-point line. Or if you make it, you have to take it back to the 3-point line and go again.
And our men didn't make it?
Our men didn't make it, which is strange. It's a new sport. It's still kind of embarrassing to not qualify.
We're all about basketball.
When you're
in
all about basketball country and have like the best basketball players in the world, that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
The women made it and they're doing fairly well. They've kind of struggled a little bit. They haven't lost. It's been interesting. But for our podcast sake, triathlon gets shown in the Olympics. That's really cool. I have not the women's has run. I kind of know the results, but I haven't seen it. I did watch the men's.
Okay.
The men's was impressive, to say the least. They have a swim. They had a false start on the swim. Like, a boat got in the way, so they had to, like, putting everybody back. And
oh,
some people swam out, and they got them back for a second run.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
They go the second time. Generally, when you watch a triathlon, because eventually it shows up on some of the NBC sports. They'll show it occasionally on their when
they show
to fill time.
And stuff. Yeah, every once in a while.
Usually you end up with a couple packs on the swim, and they come in, they depending on how big those packs, how far apart those packs are, the people in the backpack never catch the people in the front.
Right.
They never were able to break the swim up, and it was a fast swim. They were hauling. It was like and it's fun too, and they do such cool things with like Olympic level triathlon that we just don't get because we're so focused on Ironman here. They had is a two-loop swim. So they swam one loop, and the two loops were different distances. I guess they wanted to kind of spread out the first loop.
Yeah, I saw the map, and it like cut across
came in,
or something.
Yeah, they came back, and they get out of the water, run back out, and dive in and go into the second loop.
Really?
That is so cool. I wish we had more. I've only done one race where they had two loops where you had to get out and run down the beach and get back in. I think that's so much fun. I love that as a concept for it. I wish more races would incorporate that concept and just have a smaller swim area and have two loops where you get out.
And
run along the beach and get back in.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, they'd come off the barge, like they go diving in again. It was just really cool.
So they had to climb up onto a barge?
It's a ramp.
Oh,
they just go up. They come into a ramp, go up a ramp, and just off the starting point where they started last time. It's an elevated. It's not really a barge. It's just an elevated pontoon, basically. And they go diving off the pontoon, and they go and do the second loop. It's just really cool.
Wow. I wonder why they wouldn't just continue the swim. Why would they do that?
They do that all the time in the UCI.
I mean, is it
UCI
for timing purposes or to make sure people... I don't know. Okay.
It's just the way they do it. It gives them some splits. It gives them... just to make it more challenging, I guess. Who knows?
That would do it.
I think it's a cool concept. Like I said, I wish we would have more of that here in the U.S. We generally don't. It's generally like a one loop or two loops.
I was going to say, you know, anytime I've done an Olympic distance that's been open water, it's been two loops. You know, the sprints do one loop and the Olympic distance do two.
Right, but they don't make you get out and come back in.
No.
Which I think is cool. That's just me. But like every other type, the Olympic bike, while it's kind of fun to watch them bike, it's very Peloton-esque because there's no draft. You can draft in the Olympics.
Right.
To make that non-drafting would be stupid because they all, some of them come in together on the swim. There's no gaps. And
there's no gap. And they're also, I mean, that course apparently had a lot of turns.
Right. If it were draft, if it were not draft legal, you would be spread out for like 7 miles with all these
people
athletes.
That have to be going slow. Oh my God, I can't imagine the passing.
Therefore, they just allow drafting, yeah, which makes for pack riding. So it's very much a cycling like you would see in the Tour de France,
right,
where you have packs form. And because of that, triathlon, the swim, is so important because you have draft legal. If you don't come in that first group in the swim, yeah, you're never catching them on the bike because those 10 or 12 are motivated to keep you away, especially if they know you're a good runner or a good cyclist. They don't want you bridging back up and then going off the front. Or if you're a good runner, they definitely want you back there because they don't want to run against you. there's a motivation. And generally, those guys who are the really top swimmers and the top triathletes are good bikers too, and they kind of can stay off the front. Again, most of them are motivated because they don't want to bring more people into the run.
Right.
If I have 12 people in my lead pack, well, that means only one of us 12 are going to win. If this other group of 20 bridges up, now I'm one of 30 chance of winning.
not as
good odds. But since they all came in together, the lead pack only had like a 30-second lead, and they ended up getting swallowed by the second group about halfway through. There was a bunch of people that couldn't hang on to the second group. They fell off, but they came in from the bike with about 25 of them, including the American.
How many loops was the bike?
Six, I think.
So was there something where, like, if you got lapped, you were out?
That's always true in UCI. It's a safety thing.
Yeah.
Where if you get lapped on the bike, that would be a problem because, in theory, they're going to be running while you would be coming through on the bike.
Okay.
If you were a lap down, you'd be coming through because it's all flow through. So you come in on the bike, you get off before they have a dismount line like every other race. Mm-hmm. Then you just run into the transition area and it flows through. They actually ride through the transition area on their loops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a real wide transition area and they have the setup on both sides. And it's a big, it's called a flow through triathlon. Or a flow-through mechanism. We use it in juniors championships here.
So you actually ride all the way in.
Yeah, they ride through. Now, like I said, most of the races here don't really do that same thing. But there they did. And you actually run through there as well on the multiple laps.
So you can't, you don't want cyclists and
you can't
runners.
Have cyclists. That way, that's why if you get lapped, you're done.
You're done. Okay, makes sense.
And then the run is a couple, I think they had four or five laps on the run.
Mm-hmm. So you can be a slow runner, and that's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter if you get lapped in the run. Yeah. Although, you're not going to get lapped on a 40-minute run. These guys are all just...
Yeah.
Although, I think a couple guys got lapped, where they came in so late on the bike that they got... But it was near the end of the run where they got... Like, one or two guys got kind of lapped on the run. It's just... They... Crazy fast. But they're running like 4.5-minute miles on that run after all that.
Oh, my God.
Which is just crazy.
That's just crazy, yeah. Oh, my God. Wow.
It was wild though. The best runner didn't in the group because there were about 10 or there was about 12 of them that kind of came off the bike and were in the running pack and they all started bleeding off. The American held on fairly late. He ended up getting like sixth overall, which is pretty solid for an American in men's triathlon. We're not very good at that sport. The men aren't. The one British guy was the best runner of the group, but he ended up finishing second.
Mm-hmm.
A guy from Netherlands or whatever.
Yeah, I say it was Netherlands or something. It was. I saw a picture because people were commenting on his tri-suit.
Like, yeah, he had a white tri-suit, which
he
was.
He won. Apparently, a lot of technology went into that tri-suit. So.
Yes, to keep you cooler, the white helps reflect.
May not be the most flattering, but.
No, because you can see through.
Yeah.
They had kind of a darker color around the. Anatomy part of him, but you can definitely see.
I think
his,
it was like a blue color or something. I saw.
Yeah, Blumenfeld was his name. I was a little sad that he won because he's a guy who trains like ridiculous hours each week.
Okay.
He like trains like 7 or 8 hours a day. He's like he's doing Olympic distance, but he trains like
a
long course athlete,
right?
Which is just crazy because most of the elite athletes don't train anywhere near that amount of time. But he wins, so now I'm going to have to deal with athletes going, well, we need to be working on more and more. I'm like, no, no, you don't. That's
take a nap.
Yeah, he's just a guy who, that's his thing. And that's probably, it wasn't that training that got him the win. It's the toughness that he had, that mental toughness,
right,
that allowed him to break the other runners on a day with quite a bit of heat. It was a very hot day. That's why they were sweating. They were taking in liquids. They were struggling because I think it was like 80-something. They went off early in the morning. It was still in the mid to the high 80s for the race.
Yikes.
But yeah, let's see. What did he have? He had a 145, which is, that's just stupid fast. If I'd been racing with him, I would have, I'd be at the beginning of the run when they had finished the race.
Might be halfway through the bike.
Because my best time is 2:25, so they finished 30-something minutes ahead of me. Oof.
Yeah. Oof.
Oh, God. Yeah, they would have been very far done with the race by the time I finished.
I don't want to talk about it, because you've, like, managed to shower and change clothes and be at the finish line when I've come across the finish line in races that we've been in together, so I just don't even want to talk about it.
He'd still be
in the water.
He did an 18-minute swim. For 1,500 meters.
Wow.
That's like a 110 meters, which is
it's moving.
1 minute hundreds. That's flying. 56-minute bike. That's probably averaging about 20 miles an hour, but that's draft legal.
Then he just dropped
into 29:34, 10K.
Damn. And that's why he has a gold medal hanging around his neck today.
They had, I guess, three runners broke 30 minutes in the 10K.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's crazy fast.
That's amazing.
Let's see. Top 15 all had a sub 31 minute 10K. These guys can haul.
How old are they? What's the age group on these guys? Most of them are they in their 20s? None of them are 30.
Late 20s, early 30s. Triathlon's a sport that peaks a little later.
Tends to be a little later. Yeah, that's why I was wondering. I mean, I know none of them are in their 40s, but
usually when they get up into their late 30s is when they make the transition to long course.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
At the end of the day, I mean, triathlon is still about the swim. This time it really wasn't about the swim. It was truly about the run because they had a big pack come in for the run.
Right.
The run is always wild in this because they go out on this like ridiculous pace and they just bleed people off.
Mm-hmm.
You go out as hard as you can and then you last as long as you can and the last person standing wins. Well, that guy kind of made a move with about 500, 600 meters. Maybe about a K to go, he made his move. And
I saw a picture, and he was in second, so he was pacing off the guy in front of him.
Well, there was a group of them that were all together. Okay. It's the same thing. Triathlon's very much about, look, we're just going to go everything, and when you blow up, you blow up, and you're done. It's a very strange way to race. It's not like the track 10K where they all kind of jostle for position and wait, and then late in the race, someone goes, and it becomes this mad dash at the end. No, this is like, we're just going to go as hard as we can, as long as we can, and the last man standing wins, and that's really what triathlon is about at the Olympic level in these short course races. It's about the swim. Are you in that front group? If you're not in the front group, your day's over. And then it's about, can you just stay with whatever that ridiculous pace is until the end of the race and be the last man standing?
So Olympics, the bike has not always been draft legal, has it?
Yes.
It has? Okay. I wasn't sure about that.
Like I said, it has to be because of the distances are too short. There's no way to get separation.
Yeah.
It's already bad enough at Kona where you have so many people coming in together on the swim that they just form these huge just lines of 30 or 40 athletes. Well, they don't have to be pros, but you know, you get 20 athletes lined up going down the road. It gets kind of silly.
Yeah, and that's not draft legal, so
right.
Trying to,
You just kind of sit in the group and try not to let someone get too far ahead of you based on your run ability.
Yeah.
And how fast they run is what Ironman ends up being. And again, Ironman begins this whole, I'm going to go out in a pace, and if I hold it, I win. If not, I'm done.
Yeah.
Triathlon's very different than your typical running races.
Now, the women's triathlon has not happened yet?
No, it happened.
Oh, did it? Okay.
I know the American finished third. That's all I know.
Okay.
I don't know who.
I haven't looked.
I was going to watch that tonight, probably, if I get home from soccer to reasonable.
Mm, that's good. We will find out.
It's been crazy. But yeah, the Olympics are, triathlon and Olympics are worth watching. I know we can talk about other sports like swimming and cycling. Maybe we can talk about some of that stuff next week after. In the coming weeks, let's say.
In the coming weeks, yes, because we're going to be.
Do some reviewing of the Olympics and what we saw.
Here we go. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you're looking for a coach, check us out at go3sport.com. And we'll talk to you next week.